This episode is brought to you by Fresh Victor, the all-natural, clean-label cocktail mixer that brings the expertise of master mixologists into your home.
Hello?
Hey, H, it's Dan. We're planning a new Fresh Victor ad, and I need a quick update on what's new.
Absolutely, Dan. Fresh Victor's thriving. We continue to offer a variety of unique blends with modern flavors that cater to all tastes. Our ingredients are all fair trade sourced, and there's no artificial additives. Plus, our mixers are produced in a 100% solar-powered juicing plant with zero waste.
What's your latest Fresh Victor mixing tip?
Well, Dan, spring is in the air, and April is National Brunch Month, which means mimosas all day. Just 2 ounces of any Fresh Victor flavor with about 4 ounces of your favorite sparkling wine makes an amazing mimosa. You should try it.
Mixing one up as we speak, my friend. And hey, is that promo code for my listeners still available for 20% off at freshvictor.com?
Absolutely. The code is still valid.
Remind me, what's the code again?
It's FVDAN20.
Could you repeat that, but a bit slower and clearer?
Sure. It's FVDAN20. But Dan, you're not planning to use this call as the ad again, are you?
No.
Yeah, we're expecting a fully produced ad.
We're going all out. Sound effects, music, the works.
Music?
Yeah. Any preferences?
Well, I've been into Brazilian conga music lately.
Brazilian conga music it is. O&H, could you do me a favor and say that tagline I always use at the end of the Fresh Victor spots?
You mean, now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market, and that's Fresh Victor?
Exactly, but can you say it with a bit more flair, like I do?
You're not recording this for the ad, right?
I promise. This is just for reference.
All right. Now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market, and that's Fresh Victor.
Cut. That's a wrap. Thanks, H.
Wait, did you just say cut? Dan, are you...
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. But this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Dan Dunn. You already know that because, like, the song says who I am. It would be weird if somebody else came on. Welcome to part two of our exciting spring wine extravaganza. I mean,
words.
Cut that part out. The reaction we got from part one was nothing short of underwhelming, but people were just not messaging me and not saying anything about part one. So you know what that means? I take that as a challenge.
We have to be controversial.
To kick some serious ass on episode two. And I'm going to do that with the person sitting next to me. Her name is Claire Copey, and she is not only one of our favorite regular guests, she's also one of the most knowledgeable wine people in the world.
Oh, that's not true, but thank you.
How are you doing, Claire?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good to be back. Good
to
have you.
Great to be
back. Part two. Did you have fun on part one?
It was okay. Of course I had fun. Dan, we always have fun doing this.
And by the way, I was lying. And people were crazy for part one.
They did?
Couldn't have enough of it. Yes.
Fabulous.
Like, do 10 more, and we might.
We might.
We might. We got summer wines. We should do summer wines, right?
I mean, there are four seasons every year. So
do you know, for no good reason, before I came in today, I made a list of words that rhyme with your last name.
The hell?
Copey. Would you like to hear the name? Would you like to hear these words?
Dopey.
Dopey. Mopey. Ropey. Soapy. Gropey.
This is like the demented seven dwarves.
Hopey and Slopey. You have any more you want?
Hopey and Slopey? Gropey. I liked Gropey, Dopey.
Any more?
Are there more? Gloopy.
Then we'll go on to the next part of my exciting intro, which is you're originally from Chicago, outside of Chicago. Did you hear that Chicago is no...
Goddamn what now?
Claire, did you hear Chicago is no longer giving speeding tickets?
I didn't, Dan.
Instead, to deter speeders, they are giving away White Sox tickets.
As a Northsider, I approve this message. That's hilarious. They should give away Bears tickets because, God, they suck.
Well, no, Blackhawks. Exciting stuff, though.
Do they? They don't suck anymore?
They're going to be drafting the number Caleb Williams from USC. It's like the big deal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stopped following them because I gave up hope. I didn't know.
Clearly
I follow the Blackhawks, who are great.
Are you a Blackhawks fan?
I am, and it's a sad season. Although they say that we're blowing it on purpose to, first of all, we got Connor Bedard, you know, last season. And we blew it again this season to get the number one pick for this draft. So,
wow,
give it 5 years, people.
The lesson here,
we're
never given the chance to blow it.
Oh, God damn it.
What? You teed it up for me.
I did.
I'm sorry. All right, so Claire, we're doing spring wines,
yeah.
And we got six fabulous spring wines here. As we did on the last show, we talked about qualities that we look for in a good spring wine, you know, this stuff that'll have you prancing through the tulips with a glass in your hand.
Very much so.
I have once again made a list of things, and I'd like you to tell me how I've done here. First off, when you're looking for a good spring wine, you're looking for a zesty zinger.
Yes.
You want wines with a zing, a zap, a pow of acidity.
Yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc or Amarino, which we talked about before, that should do the trick. They're like a spring breeze in a bottle. They tickle your taste buds awake after their long winter nap.
Do you write this at like 3 a.m?
I did write this last night. Next up, we're going to shed the heavy reds. It's time to ditch the burly, brooding reds of winter and slip into something a little more comfortable. You know, it's like swapping the parka for a jaunty cardigan.
You're so good at this.
Thanks.
It's so much alliteration.
How am I doing so far? Yeah. Oh, you want some more?
Do you?
A bouquet of bouquets.
Ooh.
Spring is in the air and it should be in your glass too. Look for wines that are practically skipping through a meadow with floral and fruity notes. They'll have you hearing birds chirp with every sip.
Wow.
Insert birds chirping sound effect here. Can you do it? You're good. You're a jack of all trades, which is what I have on the list next.
Sweet Jesus.
Spring's menu is as unpredictable as its weather, so you're going to need some versatile vinos. Alliteration. That can handle anything from a light salad to the season's first grill out.
Ooh.
Be prepared, Claire, is what we're saying.
I will.
Out with the old, in with the new. Spring is release season. Why do they do that? Why do they release now?
Not a damn. I have no idea.
No idea. They just do.
No, it's just they've aged the proper amount of time.
All right. So you get your hand on the latest vintages and the young, vibrant ones that are just chomping at the bit.
Oh, yeah.
Be enjoyed.
They're
right
zesty.
Now.
They're zazzy.
And finally, lighten up, Claire. No, really, lighten up.
Okay, sorry.
As the mercury rises.
What the
So does our desire for what I wrote this. I'm sorry. I'm proud of what I wrote.
You should be.
For wines that won't weigh us down. Opt for lower alcohol content to keep things breezy because nobody wants to take a siesta after a lunchtime tipple.
Oh, I do every time.
All right.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Are you going to sleep right after this?
I mean, I'm in between jobs, so I could.
There you go. If you're a wine lover, you're going to want to bookmark this episode, my friends, because we're going to introduce you to some wines you're going to fall in love with. And I mean that, Claire. Like, you'll do it naturally. Won't be forced. Because love is like a fart. If you have to force it, you may shit yourself.
Gambling on a fart.
Yeah. Okay.
Living on a prayer.
See, you know what's coming. Because I'm a cowboy. And on a steel horse I ride.
Sweet Jesus.
And I'm wanted dead or alive. Have you guessed what wine we're going to try now, folks? Well, Jesse and John Bon Jovi decided the wine world needed a bit of a shakeup a couple years ago. Think less stuffy cellar and more, you know, party on the beach, baby.
Yeah,
let's
baby.
Let's go. They teamed up with their pal Ali Thomas and French winemaking legend Gerard Bertrand. You know who he is.
Oh,
yes.
Of course. We all know Gerard.
And they created Hampton Water. A rosé that's like a backstage pass to that famed beach community's luxury. When I drink this, I feel like I'm in the Hamptons.
Me too.
All right. So we're drinking the Hampton Water 2022 rosé. It's a blend of 60% Grenache, 15% Cinsault, 15% Mourvèdre.
Oui.
Am I saying that right?
Bien, of course.
And 10% Syrah.
Very
Tell good. Us, okay, let's go back first off to Gerard Bertrand.
Oui.
Talk about who he is and his legacy.
I think, well, he was a rugby player, right? Wasn't he a rugby player? Yeah. He's a rugby player. Sure. Yeah.
As but most winemakers.
As
are.
Most winemakers were at one point. Well, we have a former dancer as well on the. So we've got a lot of former athletes
Rishnikov,
here.
You're talking about, right?
Yes, he started making his own wine.
Killer Boone's Farm.
Okay. But yeah, Gerard Bertrand. A lot of people are probably familiar with his rosé without even knowing it. It's sold at Costco, and it has that lovely rose cut into the glass at the bottom of the bottle.
Okay.
It's called Côte de Rosé. So he's probably the largest biodynamic producer in the world, I want to say. He makes a ton of wine through many different labels, mostly from the south of France. And his rosé is very famous down there. Very fresh,
just
clean,
a good guy
quaffable.
For Bon Jovi to partner
Great
with.
Great guy to partner with to make rosé. Absolutely.
Now, the blend.
Yes.
It's 60, is that a typical blend you'd see?
For southern France, yeah. Absolutely.
So Grenache is the dominant grape.
Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre.
Why is that the dominant grape?
Grenache provides a lot of fun fruit notes, plum, strawberry, red fruit notes. Mourvèdre provides a little bit of structure. And then Syrah also has some lovely red fruit notes. And then
the
in red.
The
Cinsault. I don't know what that provides.
Oh, who knows? It's just there for window dressing.
It's there for color.
I smelled this thing, and it's funny you say that, because strawberry is the first thing that I got.
Oh, for sure. It's very summery. This is spring into summer in a glass. This is going to carry you throughout most of the rest of the year.
Like, this is, you cannot go wrong. If you're having a party in the spring or early summer,
you can get a case of this, and it's so crushable. Like, it's easy. This is exactly what you want. It's that lovely pale-colored rosé. This is what everybody wants to drink. Is it cost-effective?
It's, what does this cost? I didn't write that down. All my note-taking that I did. I did
all
so
of your...
much note-taping. And even this, I even did this, and I tried this. I made this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, I mean, I didn't. They invented it, and I tried the recipe the other night. Mm. A lemonade rosé.
Oh, I like that for you. Yeah.
Check this out. You take a whole bottle of the Hampton Water rosé, 3 cups of lemonade, lemon, you slice it up, and 12 ounces of soda water.
That is.
You add all of this into a pitcher. I did that. It was so good.
You made it?
Put in a pitcher, you stir it, you chill it for an hour or two, you serve it over ice, and you garnish it with the lemon slices.
Gorge.
You're going to be the most popular person at the party.
That's lovely.
That thing. Like, really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Everything you kind of want in rosé.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I want more than just a buzz, though, when I'm drinking the wine. And I want to feel good.
Ooh,
I want to feel generous. I want to feel that generosity buzz, Claire.
What's that?
And that comes from giving back in Hampton Water.
Oh,
because they can afford it, John Bon Jovi. They donate proceeds from their sales to some great organizations, such as the Pink Agenda, which I believe we all know is from that Barbie movie with their messages. You know,
goes to Greta Gerwig.
You know, Barbie trying to do with the Pink Agenda. Don't get me started. The It Gets Better project, which does it? When's that happening?
I've been told at some point.
And the Ocean Blue project. Ooh, lots of stuff.
I like that.
It's
I like
better.
That a lot.
It's pink and it's blue.
And they use very sustainable glass capsules, so that makes
the closures. So,
what's going
on with that? So, this is an unusual closure on this glass.
It is, which you'll also see on the Gerard Bertrand Rosé. There have been studies that it keeps the wine just as fresh, just as, you know, clean and protected from oxygen as a traditional cork does, but it's a lot more sustainable.
Favorite Bon Jovi song? Go.
Oh, God, no. I mean, I'm going basic, Living on a Prayer. I can't right now. You can't do this to me right now. No.
What about Shot Through the Heart and Your
Sure.
Spine?
I
know the bad name.
I do like that one, too.
I don't know what my favorite would be.
That's tough, right?
LJ, you got a favorite Bon Jovi song? Loves them all. LJ, producer LJ loves them all. I do love Wanted Dead or Alive. When I was a kid, like, I would, like, that seems like a badass.
It feels
cool. I've seen a million faces and I rocked them all.
I'm going to drive back to the valley just blasting that.
Blasting Bon Jovi.
In my Subaru.
And I also love Blaze of Glory, which was the theme song of Young Guns.
That's true.
Movie.
That's right.
So, Hampton Water. Claire and I both agree.
Solid.
Very solid,
solid
spring
roof.
Sipper. Dump cup.
Dump.
Book it. Here we go. Again, folks, we always remind you when you're doing these tastings, have a dump. Have a dump. Pail, which is what we have. Next up, wine number two in part two is from Rodney Strong. And let me tell you a little bit about Rodney Strong. And we've had Rodney Strong on the show with you before.
Indeed.
Rodney Strong was founded in 1959 in Sonoma County. You want to guess the guy's name who founded it?
Rodney Strong.
You're good.
I knew it.
You are good. The Klein family bought it in 1989, but Rodney Strong founded it in 1959. It is got to be one of the more legendary wineries up in Sonoma County.
It's pretty
right?
big like up it's, there. It's a big producer
up there.
Yeah.
They've got 12 estate vineyards in Sonoma County, Alexander Valley, Russian River, Chalk Hill, Dry Creek. These are all the best AVAs up there. Yeah. And what we're trying is another Pinot Noir. This is the 2023 Sonoma Coast Rosé of Pinot Noir.
Yes.
So it's 100% Pinot Noir. So much different than what we just had. That's
Indeed.
More typical of rosé, right?
Yes.
It's going to be Pinot Noir.
From this area,
from this
for
area.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, though, do the Grenache Syrah in their
roses. So what do you think, without even trying the wine, what's the primary difference between what we just had with the Grenache and the blend and this with when you're getting 100% Pinot?
That's a great question, because you're still going to get a lot of the lovely red fruit notes, like strawberry will probably still hit you over the head on this. I get a little bit less of the tart lemon lime citrus, watermelon, although it might be in here too, to be honest. I could just be full of
maybe
it. But I get a little savoriness on rosé of Pinot Noir as well.
Well, you're right about that. The strawberry is right there.
Yeah.
You said you were going to get a lot of the similar qualities.
Strawberry is a big Pinot Noir note.
Tropical fruits I'm getting.
Yeah. I get a floral quality to this as well, though, like a beautiful like pink rose.
What about melon?
Melon works, yeah.
Remember Blind Melon?
Blind?
They weren't as big as Bon Jovi, but Blind
Melon. Oh, no, I didn't.
Remember Blind Melon?
I thought that was a variety of melon.
No, they had that song, No Rain. No Rain. And I start to complain when there's no rain.
Oh, no.
Don't remember that song? I'm so showing my age.
Oh, dear.
Anyway,
I'm so young.
Shannon Hoon was the lead singer of Blind Melon. He died of a drug overdose.
Oh.
But they had that one big hit, No Rain. And maybe they had a couple other hits, but yeah.
What the hell's going on? I mean, what the hell is going on?
Sorry,
down.
Diversion.
Jeez.
Okay, let's try this. Oh, this is bright. Acid. I get a little acid, right? This is crisp.
It is. Actually, yeah, the acidity on this is quite nice. Also, just like look at the color difference. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
How this is more of like a salmon and this is super pink. I was kind of thrown off by this.
Is that just the varietal?
I don't know. Like, I don't know why this is so pink looking. Like, this almost looks like a artificial pink in a way. Not in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, you know, because it's so like vibrantly electrically pink. It's the color of the skins.
It's the Barbie agenda.
It's the Barbie agenda.
Trying to turn everything pink.
They're trying to dismantle the patriarchy.
By the way, what'd you think of that Ken song at the Oscars? Boy, that
Ridiculous.
Kid's got it. He's got charisma.
He does. That was so funny when he got the award at the Critics' Choice and he was just like, seriously.
do you like Ryan Gosling? I think you're
yeah.
a big fan. You're a big
yeah.
fan. Did you like Barbie? Did you like the movie?
You know, I did like Barbie. I did.
I did too.
I did.
I'm
it was a lot of fun.
Because I don't want to get in trouble.
Nope.
I found it was very enjoyable.
Very pleasurable. No, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
It was a fun movie.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
But this wine.
Even more
Watch,
fun.
Drink this wine while watching Barbie.
Absolutely.
In the springtime.
And what would you eat with this?
It's like a salad. Like, how about a pasta salad?
Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah.
Like a light pasta salad.
Yeah.
Ooh. What do you
Love
put
a pasta
What do you
salad.
Put in your pasta salad?
You can put anything in your pasta salad.
I put cheese. I put
like feta?
Cheddar cheese.
Oh,
I
you
like
put cheddar?
Little chunks of cheddar cheese.
Oh.
I put black olives in there.
Black olives,
of course.
I put
broccoli in there.
Wow.
Ooh.
Do you do a vinegar base or a mayonnaise base?
No. Italian dressing. Like, you know, like a...
Salt vinegar.
Yeah. Oil and vinegar. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. No mayonnaise. Yeah.
It depends on the set.
Although, at Whole Foods, I will often buy the salmon pasta salad, which is more like a mayonnaise-based thing, and it's so good.
How much does that put you back?
I don't know. It's Whole Foods.
It's not Erewhon.
Yeah. All right. Sonoma Coast Rosé of Pinot Noir from Rodney Strong, 2023. It is $30 a bottle.
Okay.
And we're...
That's not a cheap rosé.
It's not a cheap rosé.
Not a cheap rosé.
You know, you're getting it from the best AVAs
out
there. All right. And now we're going to try wine from a vineyard we have never featured on this show before. And it's called Viñedos Orgánicos Viramante. But we'll just call it VOV to save on the syllables here, Claire.
Indeed.
So it has been the toast of Chile.
Mm.
We're on Chilean.
Chile.
For over 25 years. These folks are all about wines that scream, I'm from here.
They like their terroir.
From here. Their stomping grounds are the Casablanca Valley, where back in the 90s, they planted vines in a spot that kind of had the wine world scratching its head. Claire, why are you doing that? But they were on to something. Now they spread their viney wings into other valleys, making a splash both in Casablanca, which is cool for whites and chill reds. And then, am I saying this right? Colchagua? Colchagua. Yes. And that's a hot spot for kind of like the bold red.
Yes. Yes, quite.
So VOV, as we're calling it, Viramonte, is big on the whole living soils vibe.
Okay. Like what does that mean?
They believe happy, healthy dirt makes for grapes that
you know,
really strut their stuff.
100% correct.
They're all about keeping things natural in the vineyards and letting the land do its thing with minimal intrusion by human beings.
I love that.
And I know that's your favorite kind of
wine. I do love that. It's hard to do.
So here's how they roll. Organic and biodynamic farming, because
they sound biodynamic.
Mother Earth deserves love, right?
Yeah.
She does. Zero chemicals, no fertilizers, herbicides, fungicides, pesticides, none of the sides. There's no sides.
Fascinating. I mean, I'm sure they're using fertilizers of some kind, like natural. If they're doing biodynamic, they're doing a fertilizer of some kind.
They said no.
Okay.
They're not. And are you calling them liars down? Don't do
no.
it. No. They'll go crazy on you. They make their own compost, keep the soil and vines in tip-top shape. Sheep and llamas are the lawnmowers and the natural
yes.
fertilizers. They keep the grass in check. So, see, this seems like my kind of place, right?
It's cool.
And water-wise and renewable energy practices cut down on those pesky CO2 emissions. If you want to feel good about drinking wine, and we haven't even tried this yet, I already feel good about it.
Yeah.
They're getting their regenerative organic certification.
Okay. That's hard to get.
Is it hard to get?
It's a lot of red
tape. That's like an Oscars in the eco world.
It's just like it's hard. I mean, there are a lot of people that produce that way, but they don't go through all the red tape of getting certified because it's a pain in the ass.
Well, and it's not just about the wines itself. It's also about the animal welfare, the employees, everything.
The winery.
This means you're treating everybody.
Yeah.
The land, the environment, the
people. It's a lot of work. It's
everything.
Not cheap.
In 2020, they bagged a Fair for Life certification for setting up a medical clinic and offering free healthcare to their whole crew down there in Chile. And they
That's
teamed
nice.
Up with the local government to lend a hand to some nearby farmers through a collaborative garden project. I love these guys.
That's
I haven't
awesome.
Tried the damn wine yet, and I love them. I'm
That's
pure.
Awesome.
All right, so this is the Viramonte Sauvignon Blanc 2022. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, 13.5% ABV.
Something I cannot put my finger on.
I got funk right on the nose.
I mean,
you said
yeah.
funk earlier in the previous show, and that is a different smell.
Part of that might be, again, we're drinking a lot of wines from screw cap, which can lead to reduction because, like, no oxygen's getting into this wine, right? So the wine does need to breathe a little bit, which this has a little bit of that going on, but it's really cool. There's, like, a saline, like, kind of like Parmigiano-Reggiano
right.
nose to it, right?
And what's crazy is I just took a sip. That is completely different than what I smelled. Like this.
You get the green and the citrus on the palate, yeah?
Yeah.
You get the pyrazinic thing, which we talked about on our last episode. Sauvignon Blanc has pyrazines, which tastes like jalapeno.
What
green
a fun
pepper.
Wine, because it's like the nose on this.
That's cool.
Is something that I haven't really experienced before.
No.
And then I get the taste, the mineral notes on this. There's like some the peach, sweet
sure.
herbs going.
Oh, yeah. You're nailing it. It's a fun one. I don't drink a ton of Sauvignon Blanc, honestly, but this is very fun.
I mean, is Chile, what's their relationship with Sauvignon Blanc? Is that they known for it?
Chile is known a lot for, they've got Carmenere going on down there quite a bit. They thought it was Merlot, but it's Carmenere. Some really good stuff happening there. And yeah, I mean, there's great Sauvignon Blanc and Casablanca. It's kind of in a sweet spot. It's funny that we're doing a lot of Sonoma wines with this because it's similar, like Sonoma's tucked with a mountain range on its eastern side, the Mayacamas mountain range that, you know, divides it from Napa. And then you've got the Pacific Ocean on its west. And it's similar with Casablanca because it's in this valley with the Andes on the east and then the Pacific Ocean on the west, higher elevation down there in general. But it's got that lovely, like, perfect climate to make these very fresh white wines.
And guess what? $14.
Love that.
This is
fun.
And I think, you know, you and I've talked about this in previous shows, Claire. Like, I like the story too. Like, if you bring a wine to a party, and if you happen to actually get to talk about it with, you know,
yeah,
like, talk about what they're doing, like what they're doing for the environment, what they're doing for the people that work for them. It's, and then the fact yeah. that it's got this really sort of complexity to it. And I know that's a term that gets thrown around far too often in wine, but in this yeah. case, I think it applies because
it's unexpected too.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, it's a different wine and I'm really yeah. digging the
flavor. It's very green to me, especially on the palate, of grass, asparagus, vegetal notes.
Oh, I forgot to make this noise. People like when I do this.
Oh. You have an interesting fan base.
That's my wine tasting noise. All right.
I'm Dee Devantes, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Ooh, moving on to our next wine.
Claire,
as I did on the previous episode, I wrote some notes about this wine.
Oh, you did?
This one right here.
Oh, fabulous.
In 1916, while most teens were, you know, doing teen things, a youngster named Joseph Babich decided to shake things up a bit.
What'd he do?
I love, see how you jump in there. It's working well, our team. He hopped on over from Dalmatia. As you know, Dalmatia used to be part of Croatia and not a region in a Disney movie. so he went over to New Zealand and he had vines on his mind, Claire, and wine was in his future. Oh. By the ripe old age of 14, Joseph was already plotting his first vineyard dreams.
Oh, you know? Man.
And 5 years later, bam, Babich Brothers was born. Fast forward to now, 100 years later, the Babich family saga is still going strong, steered by David Babich and his right-hand man, cousin Andre Babich. So this is still a family thing. They're living
That's
proof
cool.
that wine is thicker than water. Keeping it in the family, they're crushing it, generation after generation.
Crushing
and
it.
So we, get that? See yeah, that pun there? So we're trying the Babich, and when I say Babich, it's B-A-B-I-C-H, Marlboro, which is that the most well-known region?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
In New Zealand, yeah.
Marble Sauvignon Blanc 2022. This is a classic New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc and got 92 points from Spectator recently. And you know what Spectator gave me? Score they gave me, Claire? 87.
Aww.
And 87.
Is that the year you were born?
That's not bad, though. It's like a B+, 87, right?
Yeah. That gets a degree.
Yeah.
That gets you graduating?
Yeah, I'm in. All right, so the Babich Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc 2022.
Yeah.
Smells like
yeah.
New Zealand Sauvignon
yeah.
Blanc. Talk about Marlboro. Talk about that region a little bit.
So northern end of the Southern Island. And yes, arguably, I mean, no, fact. This is the most important region to New Zealand as far as it has the most vineyards planted there. And it's the largest amount of its exports. Like 85% of New Zealand wine exports are okay. are Marlboro Sauvignon Blancs or Marlboro wines.
98% Sauvignon Blanc, 2% Pinot Gris.
Oh,
what's
fun.
The Pinot Gris do?
That's an interesting, actually, little, how much?
98% Sauvignon Blanc, 2%
Pinot Gris?
Pinot Gris.
That's kind of fun. Pinot Gris is a very neutral grape, potentially, so maybe just softening it up a bit. I don't know. I'm kind of... A winemaker should be on here to tell you more about that. Yeah, that's a fun little addition.
12% alcohol. So this is the lowest alcohol wine that we have had
yeah.
so far in both shows.
This is very typical
yeah.
Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc. Like, this is what a sommelier prays for on a blind tasting exam in their glass. Like, please, for the love of God, give me this wine.
You would immediately recognize
100%. I put my nose in that glass and I'm like, Well, I'll go through the steps to get the points, but this is a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah, I wish.
Which you and I did a whole show about. Yes. New Zealand wines for you. And I mean, I would have said up until recently that New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is my favorite, but now I'm getting exposed more and more to from yeah. all over. And I think, but for a while, they were doing it, I think, better than most.
Well, they're doing it a very vibrant way. You know, like you, like we can smell this and it jumps out of the glass at you, right? It's again, all of that citrus, the stone fruit, tropical fruits, and the green, like it's just dancing out of the glass. Whereas other areas of the world, Sancerre, which is Sauvignon Blanc, it's a little more subdued, a little more nuanced. Yeah. So yeah.
Claire, you'll recall that when we did our New Zealand wine episode last year,
yes.
we featured a delicious Sauvignon Blanc from Jules Taylor.
Yes.
Amazing winemaker from Marlborough. The general manager at Jules Taylor is a guy named George Elworthy.
Elworthy.
Who also happens to be Jules' husband.
Oh.
So when George decided he wanted to make his own wines, the big question was, what do you name your brand when your wife is a well-known winemaker with a successful label of her own and with Jules' blessing? And tongue planted firmly in cheek.
I hope so.
George dubbed his wine the Better Half.
Aw.
So the Better Half That's wines cute. Are nurtured and concocted in the far-flung reaches of Marlborough, which you just talked about earlier, yeah. at the top of New Zealand's South Island. So it's so close to the edge of the globe. You can almost hear the Earth's hum there, can't you?
Yes.
This is a land of daydreamers, trailblazers, and those daring souls who take to the skies. George is a pilot.
Oh, very cool.
But it's, you know, it's kind of etched that island into the annals of viticulture, wouldn't you say?
Like, yes.
That region. And sun-kissed summers, crisp winters. It's an idyllic place to make wine.
Absolutely.
So this one, the Better Half 2023
yep.
Sauvignon Blanc. Excited to try this because I know we love
this. Is
that
nice
pale yellow color. I really love the color on this,
isn't it? It's got that kind of like little silvery glint to it.
Lime, grapefruit on the nose immediately.
You know what's fun about this? It's like slightly more nuanced. Like if you were cranking up the volume or like the vibrancy, like these other ones are like screaming off the charts. This one's taking it down a notch a little bit. Like it's still very vibrant and very fresh, but it's
just on the nose we're talking about here. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm getting. For the first time, fresh cut grass.
Oh, baby, that's a
is
good
that
note.
A is that a
yep.
common note,
especially with Sauvignon Blanc. Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
It was a spring.
You're getting the green, which again, can you smell like the fresh like jalapeno, that little spicy green?
Yes.
Can you now? Are you making that up?
I'm
or are
just
you
agreeing with you? I'm like, yeah, whatever you say.
Like, sure.
Okay, let's take a sip of this. Wow, dry, juicy.
Yeah, all these
a lot of flavor. It's bright citrus notes going on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the palate's quite zippy.
I said guava on the nose. I'm also getting it on the palate.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice. I don't think I have enough guava in my life. But there's like a lovely tangerine note on this as well. Zesty lime. Another perfect spring into summer wine.
A whole lot of fruit going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And just...
But tart fruit.
The acidity's there. It's yeah. A little bit of... Salinity, too.
Absolutely. Good right? call. Very good call.
What's that coming from?
This coastal influence.
Is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a total thing.
How about this with some, like, shrimp?
I love that call. Shrimp Obstern, call? Ceviche. Like... Yes. Ceviche with the lime in there and everything. Oh, yeah, baby.
You know what else? Maybe, like, a little Thai food.
Yeah, a little bit of spice. This would be nice. Absolutely.
This... Cuts through that spice. It's like a really nice.
Yeah. I made like a coconut shrimp lime pineapple bowl the other day, and this would have been great with that. Yeah, baby.
$16 a bottle.
Love it.
So why
better
is
half.
It? Why is it? You know, we've all told with these two episodes, we've had 12 wines. Why is it that the wines in California are more expensive?
Well, part of
when
that
they're
has
shipping
to do,
it. Oh, like, we don't have
that's
to ship.
That's true.
What's going on?
Well, part of that has to do with the land being so damn expensive
up
in Napa.
And up
Sonoma.
In Napa.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me recently that an acre of land in Napa, not even planted to vine, is $500,000. I might be wrong, but that's what somebody told me, and I believe it.
It's crazy. So that's going to be the primary driver of the price, you think?
That's part of it. The oak usage, like this is all stainless steel, very easy to make. Yeah, there's a lot of factors into it. Also, the quantity that they're making, if they're machine harvesting, if they're hand picking, all of these different things, there's a lot of factors into why that bottle of wine in the shelf is that price.
And prestige too, right?
Of course.
Like that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
There, I know people, douchebags, that only drink, you know,
the very
wines from the most precious vineyards up in Napa and Sonoma and all that. And I don't think you get that so much with like
it's supply and demand, right? I mean, you look at DRC, Domaine de la Romanée Conti, which is arguably the most expensive wine in the world. Part of it is they just don't make that damn much and everybody's like, this is the greatest. It's a great wine. But there are so many people trying to collect that wine. It drives the price up.
By the way, I'll put in a plug. I was just with my buddy the other, last week. So 2 weeks ago, I saw Max Potter, who wrote a book called Shadows in the Vineyard.
Ooh.
About, you know, this when they tried to poison,
oh, that's right.
the vines at DRC.
Yeah.
I got to have Max on the show with you one time. So Max wrote this great book, Shadows in the Vineyard, many, many years ago. Insane plot to poison.
But they didn't do that good of a job trying to scam.
They did set up the poison.
Right.
And they showed them what they could do.
For like two vines.
And then they said, we'll do the whole fucking vineyard
right.
if you don't pay us. Where they didn't do a good job.
Was collecting
was
the cash.
Up collecting the money. He basically did this elaborate plot.
And like, then it was here I am.
And he's like, hey, I'll meet you in the middle of the vineyard in 2 hours. And that's what happened. And that's how they caught him. You know, like, it was pretty crazy.
It was bad.
But Max Potter's book, Shadow in the Vineyard, crazy story here.
That's crazy.
Nuts. It's totally
that's
nuts. That's
so maybe really
we'll
cool.
have maybe we'll have Max on and we can and we could do a
and we'll drink DRC.
We could do a DRC. Think
you
send
can
us
hook
some?
That up, right?
Think they'll send us some. Well,
no.
Is what's his name still alive? The winemaker?
Aubert de Villaine?
Yeah.
I think so.
Max?
I mean, yeah, he is.
All right, so I'm going to hit up Max. We'll get him to send us some DRC.
If you don't have me on for that episode, we're not friends.
We're not friends anymore. All right, we're going to go to our final.
Yes.
Yay. And this is exciting because
I love this wine. Yep.
It's called Waypoint. And again, I'm going to go to my cleverly written notes. A waypoint, Claire.
Yes.
In the old school sense, is a pit stop on a journey. A place to catch your breath before you march on. But in our high-tech world, it's all about GPS coordinates, pinpointing your spot on this big blue marble. In the realm of wine, though, a waypoint is more than just a dot on a map. It's a story in a bottle. A tale of time and place swirling around in your glass. LJ's looking at me like, what the hell are you doing today?
He's like, wrap this up, buddy. Cheers.
Hey, buddy. Gotta go.
Let's go.
All right. So dreamed up by winemaker Matt Sands, Waypoint is the result of an audacious idea. He's going to shine a spotlight on California's single vineyard gems and showcase the distinct flavors that they bring. So he goes and makes wine from all these, doesn't have his own winery. He goes and gets the grapes from these places and makes it. Waypoint was a trailblazer here. They're sort of championing the single vineyard supremacy and giving props to the spots that make each sip of wine a one-of-a-kind adventure.
Ooh, that's good.
The 2021 Waypoint Fort Ross Pinot Noir, our final spring wine. And I see
I
Claire
like
looks very excited when she smelled this.
It just smells so good. Like, again, this is what a Pinot Noir, especially from Sonoma, should be. This is very typical of what this wine should be.
This is from
it's
the
lovely.
Block 14 of the famed Fort Ross Vineyard. That's the air over there is a little nippy.
It is.
Edge over there in Sonoma's coast.
Oh, yeah.
What does that do to the grapes?
Well, so this is why I mentioned in the last episode why it's good that the Sonoma Coast AVA is getting kind of split up. Because Sonoma Coast is a big-ass AVA. But Fort Ross is like a very specific area. It's these coastal, hillside, high elevation. You know, it's looking out over the Pacific Ocean. It's very unique. We like the high elevation. It preserves acidity and structural components in wines. And that coastal influence, there's fog there all the time. It cools off the fruit so that you have this long hang time for the grapes, which creates wines of complexity, amazing backbone and structural components, like I mentioned, like acidity. Shouldn't be too high in alcohol, especially 2021.
This is 13.5.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's what it should be. So excited. Yeah, and it smells like a good Pinot Noir. Sunny, bright, luscious red fruits with that undercurrent of forest floor, earth, savoriness.
Plum.
Sure, red plum, yeah.
A little redwood forest going on in there.
Ooh, redwood forest. I want to go to the redwoods. But
it's weird, like salt, salty.
You're by the coast. What do we talk about?
The coast salinity we're talking about there, yeah. But it's sort of herbaceous, too. Like, there's a lot
absolutely
going on.
Absolutely. Excellent call on the herbaceous notes. Yes, like these beautiful dried herbs.
Quinine.
I don't know that I know what that taste or smells like. Quinine. Isn't that what they gave kids in the 1800s to, like, help with their, like,
with their coughs?
Shit. Why do you know what that smells and tastes like?
Bergamot. I'm getting a little bergamot.
Okay, moving on.
There,
you know, sure.
Like, yeah. That's the train.
We have like a 5-minute monologue about all the beautiful notes on this wine, but quinine we gloss over. Quinine.
What about Bing cherries? Bing cherries, you getting that?
Yeah. I get more of like a black cherry.
We haven't talked much about finishes because we've been doing a lot of white wines, spring wines, but this has a finish. This has there's some tannins going on here. This is like, kind of holds on a little bit. Right?
Oh, yeah. Which is a sign of a great complex wine, is a lingering finish that you continue to taste the flavors long after you've sipped.
This is a really good Pinot Noir.
It's a lovely Pinot Noir.
$60.
Yeah.
No.
I believe that.
You're going to pay for this kind of quality.
Yeah.
You don't get this. This shit ain't free.
Yeah. Fort Ross, a lot of the places that make wines from here too, like, they don't have tasting rooms. It's kind of remote. So it's a special bottling.
So what we tried on this episode, Claire, to recap, Hampton Water, because I know you love Bon Jovi. You do love it.
Who doesn't?
We had the Rodney Strong, Sonoma Coast Rosé, the Viramonte, which I think both of us agree was, we were just very excited about
very
that
fun
wine. A lot of fun. We enjoyed that. Babbage. Ooh, love the Babbage. Marble, which is, you know, just classic. The Better Half.
Very fun.
Jules Taylor's husband. He's not the better half, though. I mean, she's killer.
I mean, it's what his label says.
Yeah. Well, he's trying. He better take it easy. George Elworthy. And then we finally had the Waypoint.
Yeah.
So
what a solid lineup.
Between these two episodes, we've had 12 spring wines.
We're doing great.
We're doing a good job. You want to do summer? We'll do summer soon.
Hell yeah.
Maybe in like a month or two?
Always.
All right.
And a lot of these wines will carry into summer quite nicely.
Should we do it here at Hatchet Hall again?
I love Hatchet Hall.
This is the only place we're going to do our wines.
I love doing it. We should sit in the middle of the table next time.
Go on to my Instagram, at the Imbiber. Go to Claire_Copey, because she'll share the videos.
Yes.
And watch the videos. This is such a beautiful room. It's such
it
a
is.
Beautiful restaurant. And in the heart of, actually, it's not in the heart of Culver City. It's in the west.
They
the
don't
far
know.
West end of Culver City, California. Right on the border of Culver City and Marina Del Rey in Venice.
Yes.
Right there. Claire, as always, it's great to see you.
Always great to
appreciate
see you.
Appreciate
your
wisdom, your
wit,
enthusiasm, your wits, and your overall mien.
Ooh, thank you.
After 12 bottles of wine, I'm still able to remember the word mien.
That's a good one.
I didn't have 12 bottles of wine. We sampled. And we dumped.
12 tastes.
Producer LJ, thank you for being here. He's like, I gotta get the hell out of here. I can't listen to Dan read one more of these goddamn overviews. Do you think they work, though?
They work, Tony. It was poetry.
Right?
Poetry on the page.
The new
poetry
thing
in
I'm
glass.
Trying.
Love
appreciate
it.
Everybody listening to the show. Thank you for tuning in. And next week, I don't even know what's going to happen, but something fun. Bye.